It's been called the world's oldest profession. For as long as humans have needed to reproduce, someone was probably willing to pay for it. Whether you make it legal or illegal, prostitution appears that it's not going to be going away. Different countries have different sets of laws or different levels of criminalization. So what can we learn from those experiences to decide what the ideal set of legislation is? You're listening to Upset Patterns. Prostitution being illegal in the United States, obviously there is still a demand, there is still a market out there. It's a black market. So the economic theory behind a black market is pretty simple. When you make something illegal, it's a huge barrier to entry, so the supply is limited. Perhaps the biggest characteristic of a black market is that contracts can't be enforced. So if the employer or the employee or even a customer has a complaint, let's say the customer doesn't pay up or the employer isn't paying the employee, a complaint can be brought up and the legal system can take care of it. In a black market, often how this is enforced is by violence. If you think about how organized crime basically maintains their hold. Here to talk with me more about prostitution is a man whose favorite movie may or may not be Pretty Woman, Drew Dapridge. Drew, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Will, and it is my favorite movie.
The way that I describe black markets, it seems like legalizing them would be a good idea. You bring a lot of these issues into the spotlight, and the markets just function better.
So, to add to that, why wouldn't you? I mean, it's a victimless crime. Both the John and the prostitute are freely engaging in this act. Nobody's harmed by it.
So not everything that is a black market is a victimless crime. If you take the case of the market for hitmen and murders, the person who's being murdered has very likely not consented to that. In the case of prostitution, in a very general sense, it is a victimless crime black market because you have the prostitute who is consenting to sexual activity with the customer. Unless they are being forced into it, it's a victimless crime. So in the United States, the laws regarding prostitution are done at the state level, and it is illegal in every state except for Nevada, where only 8 counties have it decriminalized. What are some other options for legislation? Right now, the status quo in the United States is definitely a black market. You have those abuses we talked about where if the prostitute is taken advantage of or the customer doesn't pay up, you have very little room to enforce the business arrangement. Let's look at a few different countries that have legislation different than the United States and talk about their strengths and weaknesses. The first option is what's called the Nordic model. That's present in Sweden, Norway, and Iceland. And what this involves is, or what it says, is that the act of paying for sex, brothels, and pimping are all legal, but not the prostituting itself.
So why not the prostituting? Why make it illegal for everyone but the prostitute?
So obviously, going back to that idea that enforcement of contracts can't happen in a black market. In this case, the prostitutes who, intuitively, they're the ones most commonly being exploited. So in the Nordic model, prostitutes can come forward to police if they're mistreated by customers or johns.
But why not have the management be legal as well?
The moral argument against that, that the legislators thought of with the Nordic model, is that the brothels or johns they're kind of like capitalists exploiting these women. If you allow those johns to make money off of it, it's an unfair arrangement. And what this has done is that it's forced prostitutes to do it on the street, because if they don't have sort of a safe residence or sort of, you know, a business residence to operate out of, they do it on the street, which tends to be more dangerous. Another part of the Nordic model is that it requires licensure, and this is a way of keeping track of the prostitutes in the country and making sure that they abide by certain health standards.
How effective is that licensure, I guess?
Well, studies show that what it has done effectively is driven a lot of the prostitutes underground. Licensure is another form of regulation. And so ideally, because now it is decriminalized, you can enforce health standards that you couldn't do in a black market. So that could mean STD testing, condom usage, but a lot of the prostitutes now just it basically drives them underground because they don't want to comply with the licensure.
And I don't imagine you'd know their reasons, but could that be because of the cost associated with it or just simply the hassle? It's easier not to have to get tested.
It's really hard to tell. With a lot of this evidence, it's anecdotal. The prostitution has been decriminalized in these countries for so little. We don't have good data. And when you compare legalization versus when it's illegal, the data when it's illegal is almost not present. Because it's illegal, people don't want to report their actual activity, so you don't get a good sense of how the health standards, for example, would change when it becomes decriminalized.
Very good point.
The next country that we can look at is in Germany. So there, prostitution is legal, and so are brothels. One objection a lot of times to prostitution is that if you legalize it, you're going to suddenly have these whorehouses in residential neighborhoods, right? But in Germany, you need a license to operate a brothel, so it sort of circumvents that issue potentially, or allows a little bit more control.
Through what means, I guess? Like, how does that prevent a brothel from being next to a school?
Because you need to get a license for it, the government has a little bit of say in where you can put your business. And so in the case of Germany, it varies across the 16 states, but you know, you have to have it a certain number of miles away from a school or from a residentially zoned neighborhood. And this gives the government a little more control. It also arguably will then put some of it underground, right? Because the brothels don't always want to comply, and the demand for sex could still be around schools or residential neighborhoods. You see that gray area.
Definitely.
One really terrible thing that you can see in Germany is that there's an increase in human trafficking, and that's mostly migrants from the third world. Germany is now sort of a hotspot for human trafficking.
I mean, is it like any other market where once something becomes legal, then all the countries where it is illegal will then start, all the businessmen in those countries will start shipping their product to the legalized country?
I guess if you think of it in purely economic terms like that, that is true. But as long as we go with the assumption that this human trafficking is not a good thing, I think it's an argument against the German case. With those workers being migrants and coming from third world countries, they anecdotally are not held, they're being forced to work against their will. And because they were trafficked into Germany or whatever country, they're not in a position to complain against the abuses of their bosses as a domestic worker might.
All right, so you mentioned that migrant workers and the prostitution industry has increased in Germany. What about just health standards for these workers?
Very good point. So the idea of prostitution getting out of being a black market and the ability to enforce health standards. STDs and AIDS seem to generally be under control in Germany compared to the Western European counterparts. It's hard to sort of tease out how much of this is due to the decriminalization and due to just sort of the nature of Germany itself. But research does show that, especially with prostitutes, the rate of sexually transmitted diseases has gone down.
And I guess we would attribute this to the legalization or decriminalization.
Yeah, there is a strong correlation, but it's hard to draw conclusively. Again, when the illegality of prostitution either before or in other countries, it's hard to get reliable data about the STD rates there.
But if nothing else, now that it is legal, that Germany has put in place certain health standards and testing procedures to accomplish this.
You're required to be tested in a certain amount of time, and that sort of because it's a legal business in the same way that you require a teacher to renew their certification every couple of years, or you require, let's say, a car to meet certain environmental standards for its emissions.
Or a food worker to wash their hands before.
Exactly.
Got it.
So one other side effect of this decriminalization in Germany is that there is an increase in sex tourism. And you can argue good because tourism money is good for a country. It's bad because of the stigma attached with it, obviously. Whatever your feelings about it, people now are coming to Germany more because of the legalization of prostitution. So the next example is the case of New Zealand. And in New Zealand, this is probably some of the loosest laws regarding prostitution in the world. There, prostitution, organizing of prostitution rings, and operation of brothels are all legal.
Why did New Zealand choose to make everything legal as opposed to the cases of Germany and Sweden or the Nordic model?
I think they treated it as an honest industry. They saw it as consenting adults sort of just having a business exchange. And you could see in the case of the Nordic model, when you make brothels or pimping illegal, prostitutes then need to turn tricks on the street, which can be very dangerous. There are still reports of abuse by brothel owners. And you could say that happens in any industry. Legalizing it, and this is a major point, I think, no matter what legislation you favor. Legalizing prostitution will not get rid of all the abuses. Just like legalizing alcohol after prohibition, you didn't get rid of DUIs or alcoholism. I'd say the situation is a lot better after we ended prohibition, but these reports of abuse by brothel owners or customers in New Zealand are a small part of the larger picture.
Just to backtrack for a second here, with the Nordic model, brothels are illegal. So where exactly are these services being conducted?
The prostitutes, anecdotally, right, because it's hard to get reliable evidence, the prostitutes are soliciting on the street and then going maybe into their car, a motel room, could be the customer's private residence. And you could see those are all situations where it's very hidden. Any abuses would be hard to hold the customer accountable for. Whereas in a brothel, if it's basically an organized, however you want to think about it, the brothel owner is there to make sure the prostitute is safe, and you have a lot of other forms of accountability going on.
Okay. Is that the case in New Zealand? How are they regulating their brothels?
It does seem that in New Zealand, research is suggesting the improvements in the health of prostitutes, both with STDs, safety, murder rates, and a decreased level of child prostitution. Again, there's still the existence of underage women being drawn into prostitution. They're largely women. Not 100%, but largely women. The decriminalization did not get rid of it, but it was a step in the right direction.
I mean, to think that the legalization of prostitution would get rid of any crimes or all crimes against humanity seems somewhat naive.
A little utopian. The criminalization versus decriminalization of anything. You recognize that making something illegal doesn't get rid of it just because the government mandates it, and making something legal doesn't, you know, just because it's no longer a black market, you're still going to have abuses. If you think of any sector in America, you have, you know, food poisoning at a restaurant, the financial insider trading, it's going to happen. And the question is whether decriminalizing it is a better reality.
So after looking at these various countries, are there countries that we're not addressing?
So obviously a huge category we're leaving out is third world countries. There, sex tourism can be very rampant in the case of Southeast Asia, or you just have massive outbreaks of AIDS and other STDs in Africa, for example. I think when talking about decriminalization or the possibility of it to varying degrees in the U.S., it is important to look at the example in the third world, especially when you talk about human trafficking. But a lot of those countries, even the ones that do have it decriminalized, they don't have the institutions set up for fully functioning markets. The cops could be corrupt, for example, so any complaint brought up by a prostitute will go unanswered. That contract enforcement mechanism isn't there.
Right.
Like we said before, there is one tiny area in America that does have legalized prostitution, and those are 8 counties in rural Nevada.
And those counties, I believe, have to be over a certain population, 400,000 or so.
Under a certain population. And the idea is that they're rural enough where it's not...
not going to affect most of the population.
Or you can just sort of shove it out into the desert. Really, I mean, I think that was the intention of the legislation, is you sort of just put it out where people not wanting to be around this industry, you know, it's easily avoidable.
It was Nevada saying, we're not condoning it, we're going to allow you to engage in the activities that you want to engage in, just not around major public areas.
Exactly. Some evidence has showed that the closer you get to Las Vegas, the heavily populated area of sensual delights, the closer you get to that, the more expensive the prostitution is. And you can see, because it's more convenient to get to, the price sort of adjusts. So in the case of these rural Nevada counties, it's heavily regulated. Some counties don't allow the prostitutes to go a certain amount of distance away from the premises, or they can't be a certain distance from schoolyards, for example. This idea, you know, they want to have it there, but they want to micromanage how it's affecting society.
I'm just curious, on a personal level or on like an employee level, at what point are the prostitutes allowed to leave the compound, if you will?
I think it's really hard to tell, and a lot of those stories are just that. They're stories. The laws do not allow some of these things to happen, but just because a law is in place doesn't mean it will be strictly enforced.
Of course.
And so when you have this heavy regulation, or you have these prostitutes in these really abusive scenarios, they're not going to come forward because, like in the case of anyone being exploited, they are perhaps just grateful for the job, or they're afraid of the reaction that their employer will have.
I think on some level, I think we all can relate to that.
Another thing about the rural Nevada model is that the regulations in place basically protect customers and owners rather than the workers. So there have to be tests for the prostitutes for STDs, but you don't have to have it for the customer.
I would imagine, though, that contraception and protection is required.
Yes, that is the case. One takeaway from the Nevada model is that it's so tightly regulated that it's hard to say that the prostitutes have full consent. If they're locked in these premises, or if they can only go a certain distance or have to work certain hours, is it really that victimless crime that we were talking about? Or do they have the accountability mechanisms that a fully functioning market would have?
So let's say hypothetically that a problem ensues and the prostitute needs to go to the authorities. Why wouldn't she do that, whether it be a problem with John or a problem with her employer directly?
Formally, they are protected.
Okay.
Looking at a lot of this research, it's anecdotal. Because of the small sample size or because of the unreliable data, when people make these reports, it's hard to tell why the prostitutes are fearful of leaving the complex.
Very true. Where do we go from here? Where do we stand with prostitution in the U.S. at this point, seeing as you've, you know, elaborately talked about all these different cases?
I mean, I think it's really obvious that it's a trade-off. So in the case of Germany or New Zealand, you do have an increase in human trafficking. In New Zealand, there has been no proven expansion of the industry after legalization. And you could say that's the case because it's this island, really hard to get to, so sex tourism might be harder to get there, whereas in Germany, in the heart of Europe, the industry has more of an ability to grow. So that's one possible bad trade-off. On the other hand, these countries that have it decriminalized suggest that health standards will go up. And then there are obviously the non-consequentialist or economic arguments that we haven't talked about. The moral argument. So prostitution being seen as this perpetuation of men with resources taking advantage of women.
I think the counter to that is the feminist argument that prostitution, or a woman using her body in any way she deems necessary, is entirely within her right, provided that she isn't forced into it and it's purely voluntary.
Yeah, and in the case of these Western countries, we can better say that they do have enough autonomy to make that decision. But in these third world countries, where they're often children, or they're not fully aware of the situation they're getting themselves into. Even if one is to accept that it is exploitation of women, which is a fair case, it's hard to say that criminalizing it makes the situation any better. You still have prostitution, the demand for it, because the demand exists, the industry is around. The world's oldest profession. I don't think the question is whether it exploits women or doesn't. It's just one more factor in the trade-offs of legalization versus decriminalization.
Whether you're morally opposed to this or not, it's not necessarily saying that this is right or wrong, but saying that this exists and what's the best approach to it for everyone involved.
Exactly. Another hesitation that people obviously have is that if you decriminalize prostitution, will you sort of have people turning tricks on the street in front of kids? Do you want to have, you know, this industry so present where they could advertise on TV and newspapers? I think people generally are uncomfortable with it.
I think there's definitely a fear, but you can pick up any Yellow Page book or go on the internet as it stands right now and find dozens of ads for escort services or models or companions or things of that nature that are technically legal.
Very true. I think the overall message here is that, first of all, it's not a binary choice. It's not legalization versus
criminalization.
There is things in the middle. So in the case of the Nordic model, the prostituting itself is decriminalized, but not a lot of the business aspects going along with it or the purchasing of the sexual acts. And then in the case of rural Nevada, you have heavy regulation that inevitably will drive some of it underground, or abuses won't always be reported. So it's not really the yes and no that you might think of it as. But with all of these different scenarios, again, we only looked at the developed countries. In all these different scenarios, you have trade-offs good and bad, no matter how you will value it. So the increase, to me, the New Zealand model looks like the best reality. I personally do not think that prostitution will go away. And having the increased health standards of the prostitutes in the industry is a very good thing. On the other hand, I think the increase in human trafficking is not something to be desired.
Although this point may not be favorable to some, if we look at the world as a global market, the human trafficking aspect isn't necessarily creating more victims, but just moving them from one place to another.
I guess. And then you get into some murky moral water, but there are studies that show in New Zealand, for example, that because there's no expansion of the industry after legalization, you have the same number of people in prostitution in New Zealand. The way that human trafficking is loosely defined is that these women are being moved against their will. And then I think you do have to adhere to the moral argument that this is no longer a consensual act.
Of course. But we can't guarantee that they weren't being forced into prostitution in their home country beforehand.
Nonetheless, yes.
Okay.
So the demand for sex is not going to go away. Let's stop pretending we can sweep it under the rug. If it's legal, we can all be like Julia Roberts and refuse to kiss our customers. Upset Patterns is hosted by Will Comperl from Tequila Mockingbird Studios in Austin, Texas, and produced by Paige Jensen-Slattengren. My guest today has been Drew Dapridge. Want more sources relevant to today's podcast? Have any questions, comments, discussion points, or suggestions for future podcast topics? Visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/upsetpatterns or email upsetpatterns@gmail.com. Everybody's gonna be